and I want to welcome you to the podcast for this week. This week on the I Want to Know More podcast, we're in the book of John, chapter number 4, as we continue studying how this woman answers the Lord. Her attitude, her tone of voice, the way she does it. Not what she says, but how she says it. John chapter number 4. John chapter number 4, we're going to begin reading with verse number 17. The woman answered and said, I have no husband. Jesus said unto her, Thou hast well said, I have no husband, for thou hast had 5 husbands, and he whom thou now hast is not thy husband. In that saidst thou truly. The woman saith unto him, Sir, I perceive that thou art a prophet. Our fathers worshipped in this mountain, and ye say that in Jerusalem is the place where men ought to worship. Jesus saith unto her, Woman, believe me, the hour cometh when ye shall neither in this mountain nor yet at Jerusalem worship the Father. Ye worship ye know not what. We know what we worship, for salvation is of the Jews. But the hour cometh, and now is, when the true worshipers shall worship the Father in spirit and in truth, for the Father seeketh such to worship him. God is a spirit, and they that worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth. Now, we've been following the attitude of the woman. We're going to deal more at length a little later about what she's saying. I'm more interested in how she's saying it. She started off, he asked her for something to drink. He said, give me a drink. And she rants at him. She unloads both barrels. She is loaded for bear and she unloads it on him. How the Jews won't have nothing to do with her, the Samaritans. Why are you asking me? The Jews don't have any dealings with Samaritans. She's irritated that he's there, number one, and he dares to talk to her, number two. He's noticed she's there, and it's noon, and that's unusual. It's unusual, very unusual, to be at the well at noon. Something's up. Now, the Lord already knows. He already knew before he ever got there. He must needs go through Samaria. He was there for this woman and for the people that this woman was going to reach, both right then and since then. Because this woman's testimony here has been instrumental, I'm sure, in a lot of folks' salvation. But I'm interested in how she's replying. She starts off ranting at him. And then they have a little bit of a back and forth here. And finally he said, go get your husband. Go get your husband and we'll talk about this living water. She wants this living water so she don't have to come back to the well. Because she's ashamed of her sin. Again, realizing you're lost is the first step to salvation. But now let's look at her reply to him here. He's just told her, you've said the truth. You've had 5 husbands. And the one you're with now, he ain't even your husband. In that, you said truly. And I know she had to be kind of taken aback. And so she says, Sir, I perceive that thou art a prophet. Okay. She says, you're a prophet, aren't you? And then she proceeds to try to argue with him. She tries to argue. She's finding fault, not with what he said, but with the Jews' belief. Now, the world does this now. The world does this a lot now. Christian folk are judged because the world will ridicule them for their beliefs. They will automatically assume that because somebody says they're a Christian and that they believe the Word of God, the world will start assuming and say, oh yeah, 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 your Bible says this and your Bible says that, and they're trying to make it to where you look ridiculous. And this woman's doing the same thing. She's trying to deflect the conviction on her soul. And you know, in today's age, And in churches today, lost people do this. They will come to church and they will be under conviction and they will find fault with somebody. And they'll say, well, your belief is different from the way I was raised. Your belief's different from how I was raised. That's what she's saying. She says, you Jews believe differently than we were raised. Our fathers told us to worship God in this mountain. Now, where is this mountain? It's Mount Gerizim, which is near to Sychar. It's not far. Mount Gerizim and Mount Ebal, I believe, were right next to each other with a valley in between. And Mount Gerizim is where this is the area that Joshua gave the blessings and curses to Israel. And they agreed to it. It was the first place they gathered together. And Shiloh is not very far away. And Shiloh was where the tabernacle was first set up. And they made a temple of the place. And that's where Hannah was praying when God gave her her answered prayer. And Eli came up to her and said, are you drunk, woman? Take your drink elsewhere. Don't defile the house of God. The Bible in 1 Samuel calls it a temple. And that was a house that they had built around the tabernacle. This was destroyed, by the way, when Eli's sons were killed and the ark was taken and Eli fell off his seat backwards and died. That was in Shiloh. And later on in the book of Jeremiah, we're told that Shiloh had been destroyed. And the destruction of Shiloh, and then Jerusalem was established to be the place. But the Samaritan Pentateuch followed in the steps of Jeroboam, the son of Nebat, which caused Israel to sin, according to the book of 1 Kings and 2 Kings. The sin of Jeroboam, the son of Nebat, which caused Israel to sin. What was his big sin? He set up places outside of Jerusalem for them to worship. One at Bethel and one at Dan, all the way to the far north. And those places, those idols, those golden calves, became centers of worship. And the Samaritans were not familiar with the area. They were not familiar with the Lord and the God of Israel. And they were trying to worship Him, and they weren't worshiping Him in the right way. We talked about that when we went back into 2 Kings a few weeks back. And this was a big problem. The Samaritan Pentateuch put it that they were to, that this was the place that God had chosen. And that's where they worshiped, so they wouldn't have to go to Jerusalem. See, Jerusalem was picked because of David. And that's part of the covenant with David. The northern kingdoms, or the northern tribes, the northern kingdom under Jeroboam rejected Jerusalem because they thought it would take, because Jeroboam thought that the people would then be going back to being ruled by David. That's why he did it. It was political in motive, and he did it for political gain, is what he did. And so that's the situation. But this woman, she argues with him. Notice, she's arguing. And she's arguing fine points of doctrine. She's missing the big picture, which is the living water that will quench her thirst and will take away her sin. She's missing that entirely. And folk, the lost world misses that entirely. They will pick apart fine differences in doctrine. They will pick apart different translations, and they will try to turn you against it and say, well, you guys use the King James, but I've heard that this is the Bible to use. And that's confusion. That's one reason, just one reason, that I'm a King James Bible man, is no confusion. You stand on one word. You stand on one book. And it is the book. There's more to it than just lack of confusion. There's way more to it. God blessed this Bible. God blessed this King James Bible. And it is the right Bible for English speakers. Now, I make that clear, for English speakers. Not for everybody, not for everybody in the world, but for English speakers. The King James Bible is the Word of God in English. And I believe that. And, you know, all these other versions create confusion. All right, which version are you talking about? This version says this, this one says that, this one says this other thing. There are disagreements between these versions, you know. And that becomes a point of confusion. God is not the author of confusion. But a point of confusion, mixed signals. And if the Bible you stand on gives you mixed signals, then something's wrong. Because that is where the flesh will push a wedge between it and the convicting power of the Holy Ghost for the sin that is in the flesh. That's the problem. And that's what's happening here. The Samaritan Pentateuch, which was a corruption of the true Word of God, had created confusion. And this woman capitalizes on it. So, well, our fathers said we ought to worship in this mountain, but you Jews say we're supposed to go to Jerusalem. All right. Two can play at that indirection game. And the Lord, you don't outsmart the Lord. He comes up and says, woman, I tell you, believe me, there's coming a day that you're not going to worship the Lord, or the Father here, nor at Jerusalem. And furthermore, I can hear it said that way. And furthermore, the Father's a spirit. God's a spirit. He needs to be worshipped in spirit and in truth. It's not the same thing. It's not the same thing. God is not the author of confusion. And it's not about where you worship. It's about how you worship. The where is not important. The how is. The how is in spirit and in truth. The where, yeah, God picked Jerusalem, but God's a spirit, and he has to be worshipped in spirit and in truth. And that's just the fact of the matter. Yeah. Now that completely sidesteps this woman's argument, doesn't it? But we need to consider that today. The spirit, the God of that Jesus speaks of, God the Father, the true God, the living God, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, the God of Jacob, the only real God, the one who just is. I am that I am, he says. He is who he is. Tell him I am sent you. This is what he told Moses. And, you know, this is a powerful statement that he made. Worship in spirit and in truth. Now let's talk about that from a practical standpoint of today's Christianity. Practically speaking, worshiping God in spirit, there must be Holy Ghost conviction, and there must be Holy Ghost leadership in our worship. Now I say conviction. Conviction is required, even if you're born again. Even if you're born again, the Holy Ghost still convicts you of your sin, and then you confess it. And you confess that sin. And he's faithful and just to cleanse you from all unrighteousness. Forgive the sin and cleanse. That's spirit. Worshiping in spirit. You're led of the Spirit. You allow the Spirit to point you where you need to go. You're yielded to the Spirit. That's part of worship. You go where the Spirit says go. You know, people worship singers and they worship celebrities and whatnot. And what they'll do is they'll follow them around. They will go where they are. And some people will go thousands of miles to get a chance to meet their idol, their celebrity, the one that they worship from afar. They will follow them. And maybe they can't physically follow them, but they'll follow them in magazines, and they'll follow them around, figuratively speaking. They'll follow what they do. They'll read about them. They'll learn everything they can about them. Eventually, it feels like they actually know them personally. and they don't. And a lot of people, some people take it a step further and they stalk people. And celebrities, especially attractive young women, tend to get stalked, stalkers, because they're attracted to that celebrity, and they lust after that celebrity, and then they stalk that celebrity. They get obsessed by that celebrity, and that celebrity doesn't even know they exist. Oh my, that happens. And worshiping in spirit, following the Spirit, following Him around, both in terms of being led by the Spirit, but also learning as much as you can about the Spirit. And that's where the truth comes into play. You must worship God in spirit and in truth. And the truth is the Word of God. But you have to be founded upon your truth in the Word of God. And you need the right Word. And I know there's people out there listening to my voice, either on the broadcast or on the podcast, that might disagree with me. Well, you're entitled to your opinion. But I believe that what I believe is the Lord's will. And it's the Lord's choice. And I'm yielded to what the Lord has put out there. I'm not going to second guess the Lord. There's no need to. I don't need another Bible. I've got the one that works. And that's what I'm going to stick with. And you can disagree with me all you want. You're not going to change my mind. Let's don't argue over it. It's not worth it. It's not something I'm going to argue with you about. Because I'm not likely to change your mind. And you're definitely not going to change my mind on that. Truth. You have to believe that truth. You have to believe that it is truth. You have to be willing to be founded upon that truth. You have to be willing to worship the Lord in truth. And that is, you follow what He says, you do what He says, you read about who He is, and then, yeah, you pray. And that's where the real spirit comes into play. Worshiping in spirit, there must be prayer. And this is a daily thing. If you want to worship God, if you want to truly worship God, and the only time you ever worship is on Sunday morning, no, sorry. You need daily devotions, daily worship, daily prayer, daily reading, daily study. And that study can be, you can be going down the highway and thinking about the things of God and talking to Him in your heart. That's what it's talking about, worshiping the Lord in spirit and in truth. It's not where, it's how. Because I'm afraid there's a lot of people that sit on a church pew that aren't truly worshiping. I'm afraid there's too many people that are like this woman at the well, and they get caught up in the where, and they forget the how. That's what this woman was worried about. And she was ready to argue it. And the Lord just brushed that argument aside and said, "Woman, believe me, there's coming a day that you'll neither worship the Father here or at Jerusalem. And furthermore, God is a spirit. He's to be worshiped in spirit and in truth. And we need that in these days. We need prayer, and we need reading. During a snowstorm is an excellent time to pick up your physical Bible and read it. And to get down on your knees and pray. The Lord has sent us weather that kind of stops the worldly activities. And it's about what you do and how you do it more than where. Now, the Bible does say, forsake not the assembling of yourselves together. Don't turn your back on it. Now, if you can't get to church because of the weather, that's one thing. But just turning your back on getting together with other people that are worshiping the Lord, that's a different thing altogether. And worshiping the Lord, how you do it is the important part. Spirit and truth are required. Required. for proper worship. All right? All right. We got a little bit of time left in the broadcast today, but the next topic in here is a little bit lengthy. We're not going to go into it. But again, I'm praying that you'll pray for Charathon 2026. The Lord has some things He wants to do for folk. The Lord has some things to do and some things to go on. The Lord is going to bring us something amazing, I'm sure. But folk, we need, in spirit and in truth, we need to be praying that the Lord be magnified. Just like this woman at the well, too many people get caught up in the where and maybe even the who of it. You know, some people get caught up in the fact that a ministry is out of one particular church or has particular people. You know, the Lord is worshiped by a lot of people in spirit and in truth. He is. And regardless of where it is, and regardless of who is in charge, this ministry is a ministry of spirit and truth. And it is well deserving, of the support of folk because of that. And think of it that way. Think of it that way. God chose this place. Okay. Now, let's worship the Lord in spirit and in truth. And it's important. It's important to understand it's about the how, not the who, and not the where. And I want to thank you for listening to the podcast for today. I Want to Know More is a podcast ministry of Brother Lamar Owen. I'm out of the Macedonia Baptist Church located in the Silverstein community of Transylvania County. To correspond with me, please write to broadcast@lamarowen.net. That is, again, email broadcast@lamarowen.net. And join us here again next week for I Want to Know More.